So, any of you been to Sequoia National Park? There's one. Oh, look at all these people, Sequoia National Park. So if you can get to, if you haven't been, great place to visit. They have, you know, the largest living thing in the world. I think it's the General Sherman tree. It just they got redwoods, they got all kinds of great overviews and this and that. And one of the things they have is a place called Morro Rock. So if you've been to Sequoia National Park, you've probably been to Morro Rock. So you can take the bus up there, or you can park up there, and then there's steps, 340 steps, and you're going like this. It's only like, I think, a quarter of a mile, but it's very arduous because you're continually going up more steps, and then there's people in front of you and people behind you. But anyway, it's very cool. It's a large granite dome with a great view of the surrounding areas because it's just kind of like a pinnacle. And from there, you can see, wow, there's the valley. There's the highway thousands of feet below. There's, you know, all these mountains in the Sierras behind it. So just a great viewpoint. So a large granite dome with a great view. And this rock is solid and seemingly immovable. Like, nothing's going to move that rock. You're standing on that rock. It's a solid place. You don't have to worry that, you know, it's going to fall over. Anyway, in Psalms 40, David used this image of a firm rock as a place of safety and security in God's care. So in outline of Psalms 40, the first five verses speak of God's deliverance in the past. You know, we can all remember times in the past when God helped us, delivered us, and brought us to a better place. Verses 6 through 8 speak of dedication and desire to do God's will. These verses are quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, applying the passage to Christ. So this is actually a messianic psalm. Verses 9 and 10 speak of proclaiming praise for God's saving acts, righteousness, faithfulness, and love. And finally, verses 11 through 17 speak of current troubles. Who doesn't have current troubles? Troubles never seem to go away. They come in waves. I was telling everybody about my car troubles and how I had three car issues in 1 week. And how could this happen? So I'm hoping that now for the next 7 years I'm okay. But there's always troubles to be had, some big, some small. But when we have troubles, we take them to the Lord. And that is the greatest thing about being a Christian, is you always know the Lord is watching over you. You're in His care. He cares about you. He loves you. And He's not going to necessarily just, you know, grant a deliverance instantaneously. That happens sometimes, but in I would say the majority of cases, deliverance may occur over a period of time, right? And we have to patiently trust in the Lord. And I think that's one of the lines in our psalm today about waiting. So this psalm has two main themes that I wanted to touch on. Of course, God's deliverance in times of trouble, and the joyful proclamation of God's deliverance. So not only does He deliver us, but we have the privilege of sharing how He has worked in our life, how He has delivered us. And then the overriding idea of this psalm is trusting God in all circumstances. So let's go ahead and open up Psalms 40. Okay, so that first line, people sometimes have a question about what does it mean to wait on the Lord? So it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Now, you remember when the Israelites were in Egypt, and at first it was just wonderful. They had all they needed to eat. They had wonderful pasture for all their animals, this and that. But then, as they say, there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And suddenly, he saw this was an opportunity to enslave the people and give them hard labor and make them build things for him and be his building, do the building projects in Egypt. And there was, you know, God heard their cry, but was there an instantaneous deliverance? No. Who can recall about how long of a period the people were in Egypt? I have it in my mind. I have a number in my mind.
400 years.
Okay, thank you. I think, in fact, Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years before the Exodus. So you can fact check that, but I think that is correct. So this is something where the people were calling out to God for a long period of time, but God answered in his own time, in his own way. Also, when we think about Joseph himself, he was for years having being stuck places. First, in a, what do they call those things? A cistern. They threw him in a cistern, right? Which probably there was mud, slimy mud in the bottom. So that was probably a slimy pit for him. And then second of all, he was thrown into slavery in Egypt. Then third of all, he was thrown into jail. And we'll give you another quiz. How long did Joseph remain in jail before he was released? Anybody? Pauline, you got this one? I believe it was 2 years. But he was praying right from the start, Lord, get me out of here. And the Lord did get him out of there, but it took time. It took time in God's timetable, different than our timetable. Okay, so that's just something to keep in mind. We are to pray, we are to call out to God. And of course, we have those emergency situations where God help. You know, we need like today, now, immediately, I need help. And, you know, oftentimes something happens where we are rescued, saved immediately. But many times that deliverance requires patient waiting. And going back to the idea of Joseph, patient waiting didn't mean he sat on his hands. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to wait, just going to wait. No, in fact, he was actively pursuing things while he was waiting. So waiting on the Lord doesn't mean we do nothing. It does mean that we continue productively moving forward to the best of our abilities, but waiting for God to act and continuing to trust in him. This next verse is very cool, this whole idea of the rock. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. So when we think about the scriptures and the idea of rock, there's many references to rock. So they often refer to God as a rock, to Jesus as a rock. And here's another little thing. Remember in the desert, when the people didn't have water, they would strike the rock or speak to the rock, and suddenly water would pour forth. So somehow, rock was even a source of water. And I think that was even referenced in the New Testament about the rock and referring that to Christ, you know, the living water. So there's several songs about rock. So I think I have one here. Oh, here's one. Have you ever heard the chorus, Jesus, you're my firm foundation? It says, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. So that's kind of cool. There's another song, which is a song by Paul Baloche, and it's called Rock of Ages, but not the Rock of Ages cleft for me, but a different rock. And it says, there is no rock, there is no God like our God, no other name worthy of all our praise, the rock of salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. And then the chorus is, Rock of Ages, Jesus is the rock. And finally, there is no rock, there is no God like ours. So very cool, the songs that refer to rock and what that means. but to me, it's that idea of security, firm foundation, something that can't be moved. Remember that parable about the man who built his house on the sand and the man that built his house on the rock, and then the storms came and the winds blew, and as the children's song says, the house on the sand went splat, okay? And the thing just, but the house on the rock stood firm. So when we think about our lives and what we build our lives on, we come to that place where we realize there's nothing that is secure like building your life on the rock of God, and the rock of Christ. And that is the only secure foundation. I know when I was in my youthful days, I was very athletic and very much focused on my athletic ability and my body. And so I put a lot of hope in my own body that, you know, I'm strong, I can do this, I can do that, I'm very capable. But when I was 20 years old, I had acute appendicitis and I had to have emergency surgery. And as I was about to go under the anesthesia, I was thinking to myself, you know, some people don't wake up from anesthesia. This might be it. I didn't know, but it was frightening. But at that point, I came to the realization that I didn't have control over my own body. It's a terrible thing, but stuff can happen to us, and suddenly we're at the mercy of the doctors, the hospital, all that. And we're no longer in control of our own body. So, but for me, it's kind of like that Romans 8:28. That was actually something that helped me to. I was toying with the Christian faith, and I've been reading the Bible a little bit here and there, but I had never made that decision to follow Christ. And it was as a result of that humbling experience that God brought something good out of it. And, you know, no one wants to have appendicitis. No one wants to be in the hospital. No one wants to have surgery. But if something good comes out of it, I mean, if God can make something good come out of it, then, you know, thank you, Lord. And he did make something good out of that. And shortly after that, I did come to faith in Christ. And that was 1975. Okay, so, whoa, way back there, 1975. April of 1975 is when I first proclaimed Christ as my Savior. So, and as one of my former pastors used to say, the best decision I've ever made in my life. He used to say about getting married, he said, yep, that was the second best decision I ever made after following Christ. So anyway, very cool. So as it goes on in verse 3, it talks about a song of testimony and praise. I love our fourth Sunday or our last Sunday time of testimony where people have a chance to share and give praise and testimony. So the verse said, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Okay? So when God acts, when God does stuff, we respond with praise. It's not, we just kind of keep it to ourselves. And it's just really an awesome opportunity to tell others what God has done, okay? How faithful God is, how wonderful it is to trust in him. So I like to talk about this car accident, another one of those kind of Romans 8:28 things. Even though no one wants to have their car crashed in total and be in an accident, right? But in my case, there was a lot of positives and a lot of, I keep saying God things, you know, just God things. And first of all, when I was in this accident, I was moving through an intersection. Someone came from the other direction through a red light, didn't slow down, just kept going at 35 miles per hour, and wham, crashed right into me. But I did, fortunately, see the car coming, and so I sped up. trying to avoid getting hit. I didn't avoid getting hit, but I did move forward enough so that the collision was on my rear wheel. And if I hadn't been able to accelerate, the collision would have been smack on the driver's door. And the opportunity for serious injury would have been much more pronounced. And not only that, because it was the back of the car, it spun the car around, and I was facing the opposite direction when I stopped, but even that, the power of that collision was dissipated by the car rotating like that. It took some of the power of the collision by rotating the car. So amazingly enough, I had a passenger. Passenger was uninjured. Other driver was uninjured, even though they had front end damage and their airbags deployed. And I was just had a sore neck, and that lasted for a few weeks. And I just, of course, I didn't go to the doctor. But I said, go to the doctor. I said, oh. So I actually wrote a note to my doctor, and I said, hey, you know, what should I be look out for? And they were more concerned with things like nerve injury, you know, numbness or headaches or when you have a concussion, symptoms of concussion. And I didn't have any of that. I just, in fact, Gerald came to pick me up. You know, I had the car towed. He came to pick me up, and I said, Gerald, bring an ice pack. And so as soon as I got in the car, Gerald, you got the ice pack? And I slapped that thing on my neck, and I'm like this. Said, oh, that feels really good. So thank you, Gerald. And second of all, anytime something bad happens like this in the church, there is an outpouring of love. You know, Pastor Ray knows this. Tricia knows this. Something bad happens, you hear from the church. The people want you to know they're praying for you. They want your well-being. They bring food, you know, all these good things. And I did have a lot of outpouring of that, and people that would help and do things, and people that wanted to loan me their cars. And so that was great. I actually borrowed Jim Hicks' car while he was in the hospital. So he didn't need his car right then. So anyway, blessing that my health was preserved. And then another blessing is how I got my replacement car. I've got this snazzy red, ruby red Ford Escape, right? So it's my third Ford Escape that I've owned in a row. And my first Ford Escape was a red Ford Escape. And this was the car that Kathy used to drive. And we just love the Ford Escape because, you know, you kind of sit up high, but it's very compact. Every time I park in the space, I can never find my car because the other cars are longer than mine, and it kind of covers it up until I walk around. Oh, there it is. But anyway, the way I got this car was the day after the accident, or maybe the day of the accident. I talked to Bruce Bacon, and he said, and this was the car that he used to own. And he had been driving it. It was actually, I guess, Pam's car, until she got her wonderful Dodge Ram truck that she loves. When she got that truck, they turned in the Ford Escape because he got it from the dealership. They turned it back to his dealership. And he said, hey, let me check and see if they still have that. So we found out the next day that the dealership still had the car. It had been on the lot for 45 days. They had just reduced the price. They had put some work into it to repair things that needed to be repaired. And Bruce himself had put some work into it when he had the car. So very good shape. But the fact that that car just happened to be sitting on the lot for 45 days, just at the time that I needed a new vehicle, I just call that a God thing. That's like he set aside that car for me. So, you know, these are little things in life. But God is even concerned about the little things. That is what is so cool about the Lord. It doesn't have to be something major, something gigantic, but just something small. And he's concerned about even the smallest concerns of us. And finally, this is the kind of the most crazy part, is I had an insurance issue. I wanted to reduce my premiums. And so a little while back, I decided, you know, if I have an accident, I can just self-insure. I'll just take comp and collision off my policies, save all this money, and you know, if something happens, I'll just take care of it. So I called my agent and I did that, although they advised me not to. They advised, oh, just raise your deductible, keep it on there. You might need it. Your car is probably worth more than you think. And but I said, no, just take it off. I'll be fine. And that was like 4 in the afternoon. And that evening, I had a nightmare about my car rolling down the hill and crashing into a commercial building and being destroyed. And then I was like running. I said, oh no, I don't have insurance. So I woke up. I said, wow, what was that? So you know, I take it as either my conscience was bothering me about my decision, or the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder saying, dude, you need to change something here. And so because my insurance agent has had 24-hour service, I was able to call right after that dream and say, hey, you know what, I just changed my insurance this afternoon, but I want to change it back. So I put comp and collision back on. I raised the deductible to, I think, $2,500, which is the highest that's allowed in California. But I still had that insurance in effect. And then it was always a question of, you know, why did that happen? Why did I have that dream, this and that? But because nothing bad happened for the first month or so, or first month and a half, but then suddenly something bad did happen, the insurance came into play and it enabled me to easily purchase that other vehicle without having to dip into my my savings accounts. So I'm just going to call that a God thing. That I just happened to have this nightmare that caused me to put that insurance back on. Okay. Anyway, enough of that. Psalms 50:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." So that's part of the idea that when we are delivered, we want to give glory to God. So I just want to give glory to God for helping me in these matters. Then Psalms 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." So same idea, the Lord is in the business of redeeming us from trouble, right? We all have troubles, and many times God will deliver, redeem, and in those cases, we give glory to God. That's how it works. And that's what he desires of us, that we would give him glory for that deliverance. Remember when Jesus healed, I think it was it lepers? It was either lepers or blind men, but there was 10 of them, and they were, you know, begging for to get their sight or get their health back, and Jesus healed all 10, and only one turned back to give praise to God. The others just kind of went on their way, like, this is great, but only one gave praise to God. So we want to be that one. We want to be that one that turns back and gives praise to God when he does bless, when he does deliver. Verses 3 and 4 also focus on that theme of placing trust in God. And again, I first did that in April of 1975, placing trust in God. Verse 4 says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods." Okay, the one who trusts in the Lord. And that's big. That's what life should be for the believer in Jesus, that continually trusting in the Lord through thick and thin, never letting go of that trust in the Lord no matter what is happening. And again, this idea of a new song, it's kind of fun to sing. I mean, I know when I sing, it makes me feel uplifted. It really uplifts me. And even when I listen to music, it makes me feel uplifted. I'm always challenged about, what do you do on the way to church? What do you do to prepare yourself for worship? You know, do you listen to the football game that's going on in the morning? Is that going to uplift you and prepare you for worship? Probably not. But I've taken to just putting on some worship music, and even though it's a short drive to church, still just a couple of songs, and it really puts me in the right mood for worship and for study. Okay, well, I'm going to move on to kind of a conclusion here. I've got 27 and a half minutes in, so we'll bring the plane in for a landing. Here's the things I want us to remember and focus on. God is a God of help and deliverance. He is faithful. How many hymns do we have about God's faithfulness, God's help? So we can trust in him. And we need to trust him in all circumstances, not just when things are going bad, not just when things are going good, but in all circumstances. He delivered us in the past, therefore we can depend on him for the present and the future. That's what David was doing. He said, hey, I remember that time I was in the slimy pit, the bog, and the miry bog, and he lifted me up and placed me on a rock. He did it before, and he will do it again. So that's to keep in mind. We can depend on him for the present and the future. But you know, here's the thing to remember. When we trust in God, we are not sheltered from difficulty. I remember when I was young, there used to be certain kind of testimonies where people would imply that, man, you just become a Christian and all your problems go away. You ever heard a testimony like that? He goes, oh yeah, I had all these problems and I came to Christ. Now everything's wonderful. Everything's fine. All my relationships are great. Everything is going perfectly. Well, that may be true for 2 weeks, but wait about 2 weeks and then stuff will be changing. And wow, how do I deal with this? I'm a Christian and I'm still getting sick. What? I'm a Christian and I'm still failing my class. I'm a Christian and my relationship, someone doesn't want to be with me anymore. There's stuff that continues to happen. So we're not sheltered from difficulty, but we depend on Christ in the midst of difficulty. So that's how it works. Just that constant trust in knowing that he is faithful to care for us, to watch over us, and to deliver us. So thank you for listening today. And also, Bruce right now is bringing a message in Dayton, in his church in Nevada. So let's just keep him in our thoughts and prayers. He gets to do it twice. They have two services. He gets to speak twice in the morning. So he already did one earlier, so he's probably right in the middle of his second. So I'm going to pray for him right now. And I'll pray for Dr. Robert Cook, the minister of music in Southern California, who prayed for me today. So let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you. We thank you that you're a God of deliverance and help. Help us to wait patiently for your deliverance. Help us to grow as we face those struggles, always knowing that you are there, that you are faithful, and that you love us. Pray for Bruce Bacon now as he brings your holy word to the church in Nevada, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide and direct his words, that you would open the minds and hearts of the people who listen. And finally, for Dr. Robert Cook, who is the minister of music, that may he have a blessed worship, may he lead with zeal, may he bless the people with his connecting with God as he worships together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.